This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
Definitely could have fucking fooled me.
Definitely could have fooled me and been like, oh yeah, it's the same drink.
He's
trying to fool you. That's what it is.
How the fuck do you think I get through these podcasts? Massive amounts of alcohol.
Have you guys ever had grasshoppers?
I've heard of them.
They're like a mint green, like whatever alcohol shake.
Mint to mint.
Yeah.
Something else.
Okay, I was thinking while I was having my glass of eggnog, I want a grasshopper, but made with eggnog.
You're a sick son of a bitch.
I know. It sounds so good. I'll be sick. Terrible. You're right. I'll be sick. I'll be puking that back up in no time. Mm. Alcohol mixed with some eggnog. Besides, you know, the old fat, I can't really. Yeah, I can drink eggnog or I can drink alcohol, but I can't mix the two.
Speaking of alcohol, Allie showed me this bar. It's called the Bartender's Handshake. I had no idea. It's like a speakeasy that's in a strip mall that's like, I don't know, walking distance from here. So
that's a good thing.
Not for my wallet.
No,
well, I'll just start out with this. Four drinks was $60.
Ooh.
Yeah. Anyways. So,
but that's probably a good place. Like their top shelf stuff. It's not it's not Hy-Vee vodka.
Do they let you have cigars though?
No.
Oh.
I'll tell you why I really like this place, because I had one drink that was on their menu and I'm like, I should have never got this. It had horseradish in it and it was, not my thing. But yeah, there was one, it's called We'll Take It From Here. And they'll ask like your favorite kind of alcohol and what kind of drinks you like the kind of flavors and stuff. And then they make a drink for you. It was absolutely amazing.
Fantastic.
I'm like, this drink's great, but let me try this one you have on the menu. I'm like, why did I do this?
Although some of those, I mean, you know, horseradish.
I guess it was kind of funny because the guy was asking me, he's like, how was the drink? I'm like, tell you the truth, I did not like this. He's like, really? I'm like, I thought it was going to be good, but it did not meet my expectations. He's like, seriously, that's my favorite drink. I'm like, I offended you, didn't I?
He's probably the dude who made it, like came up with the idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want me to tell you the truth or you want me to give you one of those?
You can't win them all.
I don't. It's not everybody. Everybody doesn't like the same fucking thing.
Yeah. Well, that's like I used to drink tons and tons of rum and I can't hardly even stand to sip rum anymore. I drank good rum, not cheap shit. I drank
Admiral Nelson.
I was trying to think of what else would have horseradish other than like a Bloody Mary.
It was like a house drink, so I couldn't even tell you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if they got the menu online, if I can.
You can find it.
But there's a place here in town. I mentioned it before. It's a place called Inkwell. If you're ever in Omaha, Nebraska, check it out. It's a great mixology sort of place. They have, you know, all the standards, all top shelf stuff. And same sort of deal. You don't go there often, but when you, because it's pricey. Like it's anyway, you know, $10. Say average is $10 a drink, but it's everyone's stiff. It's all top shelf stuff, homemade. They even make their own bitters. They make their own stuff. So all the ancillary hoo ha they make themselves. So it's fantastic. So that's
okay. I found it.
I'll take you guys there. First round's on me.
Bet. All right, I found a drink, if I can pronounce half this shit. So it's Granny Smith infused pisco, jalapeno infused tequila, apricot liqueur, lemon honey horseradish tincture,
Yeah.
And then celery bitters.
It doesn't even sound good. And
it got me at jalapeno tequila. I'm like,
what's the place called?
It's called the Bartender's Handshake. It's on Ingersoll in Des Moines.
The thing is you don't like Jimmy G's celery drink, and that has celery in it. So what made you think that it would be good?
There was a lot of things in there that sound like it would make it good. But then, yeah, the celery.
And then the two things that doesn't make it sound good.
Could you just take those two shitty things out? I wanted to try the jalapeno tequila. I'm not going to lie. That was the only
part. Yeah, no, that. Yeah.
You'd probably like it, Jimmy.
And what was the drink called again?
One Trick Pony.
Hmm. Yeah, Granny Smith infused. What's Pisco?
I don't know. There's a bunch of words on there. I'm like, you got me. I've never seen these.
That should have been your first clue. If you don't know what's in something, you shouldn't order it.
Or then you never figure things out, because who knows? You might not know what the fuck something is, and you try it, and it might be delicious, and then you figure it out, and you hate it.
Hold on. Yeah. Or you order something like you go to the server, what's your favorite drink? And he says that and brings it to you. And because now you don't know what's in it, it does taste good. You have a preconceived idea. We already know celery. You don't want celery in it. And the horseradish.
Honestly, the celery was fine. It was that horseradish that just.
And I'm saying if you didn't know there was horseradish in it, you wouldn't have had this preconceived idea and it might have tasted better. Possibly. Yeah. Could have been a mental thing.
If you went in blind. Yeah. Yeah. Pisco is an unaged brandy that's made from fermented grape juice, then distilled to produce the final clear spirit. So this is
distilled wine.
Right, but then they add the Granny Smith. So I see where they're going. This sour.
It's sour but bitter. That's how it tasted. See that? It got me on the first part. It's very sour, and then it lost.
You're a fan. It's like, oh, this is great. Oh shoot!
I sent it, and it was not the best send ever.
Yeah. Like a rocket ship that didn't quite make it to space.
Mm-hmm. It kind of blew up halfway. Down.
Yeah, that's this is a lot like the place that I'm talking about called Inkwell. And it's a small little cozy place. Like your curry Negroni. I don't know about that.
Excuse me.
Sounds like a road trip's coming up here pretty soon.
Yeah. A lion's tail, gin, black walnut liqueur, lime, honey, and egg white. Interesting.
Most of them were really, you're looking at it, they're all interesting. That's why I was kind of overwhelmed by most of them. That's like, let's take it from here.
And especially if they know what they're doing, those guys are, those are cool because they'll take whatever and can make you something.
I'm trying to remember what mine was. It was like,
you need to take a little notepad with you, and that way drink something different every time you go.
Yeah, what was your favorite alcohol? Was it tequila?
It was tequila, and then I wanted something like sour, like a pineapple, and it pretty much tasted like tequila pineapple with like some other stuff, and it was just it was almost perfect. It was 99 out of 100.
That's fair. That's not bad.
It's okay. It's passing.
Yeah. They were serving up Irish coffee for their fall and winter menu. What else? There's something else. A couple things, like two things that I had. can't remember. One was kind of like a sidecar, but a grown-up version. Anyway.
The fuck is a sidecar?
Orange. Think orangey. It's on the sweeter side. So it's like, is it Campari that's that orange liqueur? I forget what the base of it is. Can't remember if it's gin or vodka. But then it's on the sweeter side of things. So even though it's orange, you'd think it'd be more sour, but it's actually pretty sweet.
Is somebody rubbing up against their mic?
No, it's a good bet that you're hearing my youngest daughter practice. She's in.
You hear that, Nate?
I do now. I heard something earlier, but I was like,
I thought you were rubbing. I thought you were rubbing your mic with your beard or something.
No, she's in the. She's in band this year. She's getting. I've mentioned this before. Both of my daughters are intelligent. My oldest is smart. My youngest is clever. My oldest did drumline, and in 2 years, my youngest will be eligible to do drumline. And being the clever gal that she is, signed up to do band for this year and is doing percussion. So she was trying to figure out the Harry Potter theme on a set of bells, and now she's hammering away on a drum pad. Stuff that she's so. If you hear a noise in the background, it's my daughter chopping wood.
Hey,
literally.
Sounds like she's going to town on it. So
it all started with piano and violin, and they're going to both end up drummers.
Yeah,
they just want to be like their dad.
Yeah.
It is pretty, you know, it's pretty cool having them there and not just watching, but actually, but I've never been more self-conscious about my instructing. I haven't changed anything. This entire past season with my daughter in the drum line, I did the same things I do all the time. Although I may have made sure to provide a little, you know, there's moments where I'm like, maybe a hovering dad a little too much, just helping her. It's like, especially the drums she was playing too are heavy and awkward. So, but I've never been more self-aware of my own instructing as I have with a set of, you know, my offspring's eyes looking at me. So it's just like, I said the right thing. You know, I'm just more in my head because I'm more so, you know, self-conscious about it. Yeah. So not that I'm a bad teacher, but you know, I now have a critic in the peanut gallery and one who may not say anything in the moment,
but driving down the car while some music Frost or Fairy or whatever the fuck that Frozen. There we go. That Frozen song. Dad, what did you mean by?
Yeah.
Out of the blue, you're going to be listening. What? Huh? What?
Or she'll, you know, or worst case, she'll just start bawling on the way home. Like,
Need to carry a hanky with you.
Yeah.
Just toss it back here.
Yeah, but it's awesome. It's but yeah, so like I said, we'll see where this goes. I mean, I started late, it wasn't until high school. I did music stuff before, but drumming's a whole nother beast. So I'm impressed with what they're doing, and in some ways it's like, holy crap, it took me forever to learn how to do that, and you're just like, guess you had a great teacher.
Well, if they know how to play violin and piano, I mean, what's the drums?
Well, if I remember right, in middle school, the only people that could play drums that were allowed to were the ones that could play piano or kind of like starting off drums, like dad was a drummer or somebody else, and they knew how to drum to come in. They had to like pass a test to even do the basics, or they had to be able to play piano first.
Yeah. And that's really being able to play piano helped me. But the actual drumming part isn't that hard, other than hand speed to play some of the stuff and coordination to play some of the rudiments. But the flip side is playing like bells, xylophone, marimba, like those pitched percussion instruments. And that you do need to know notes. You can't just fake that. And so if you've never done that before, you're having to figure out where to go and what to do, where in my youngest case, she knows the notes. It's just a matter of, am I up here or am I down here? And it is a little weird. Instead of playing a piano, it's the same as playing a piano, but instead of being able to use your fingers up and down the keyboard, you have to use mallets and hit in the right place. But that's, you know,
what is it? Xylophones. That's the one. Mm-hmm. I think they're one of the coolest sounding instruments, but you're not cool if you play them.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm impressed because that statement takes a lot of freaking skill, but you're at cool, the same you're time, cool. You're not cool. You're like the third singer on the left. You know, what do you do? Player. I play xylophone. What? You know, I may call. It doesn't matter. You can listen to it all day long. It's awesome. You can watch them. But at the end of the day, you don't get to be one of the cool kids.
You're like one of the bass players in a rock band.
Oh, but
yeah, you're just somebody on just stage. There. You're definitely not a lead singer. You're not David Lee Roth.
You're not the. But bass You're players not Eddie are Van above Halen. The second guitarist.
Yeah.
The singer is one. Everybody makes fun of the fucking bassist.
I know. But lead singer is the number one. It's a toss-up between the drummer and first guitarist.
Yeah.
They both have their followings, and then you have bass. But then it comes all the seconds. The bass beats out
everybody, like and second. Everybody else.
Yeah, like anybody else. And then they're the
backbenchers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So.
Yeah. I'm xylophone, vibraphone's another one that's more metallic, as well as bells or glockenspiel. That's really harsh metallic. I'm a huge fan of marimba. So it's a deeper, it's in the lower octaves of that keyboard percussion family. I'd definitely check out anyone interested, check out a Japanese woman by the name of Keiko Abe. Is it K-E-I-K-O is her first name. A-B-E is her last name. She can play like with six mallets, some of the craziest, coolest shit, like, whatever. Like, you're just like, okay, yeah, you're good. It's like, but yeah, it's, so we'll see what happens. I'm impressed with the girls so far. I mean, they have a lot to learn, but the fact that they're even trying, and like I said, my youngest is getting a 2-year head start to make sure she's solid for when she gets to junior high. So,
well,
kids.
You know, until the group two cellos came around, cellos were not cool at all.
Yeah.
And then those two guys hit YouTube, started doing everything. Now cellos are cool. You know, it's...
That's one instrument I think my dad played it as a kid for a little while, and then that didn't go anywhere, and he ended up playing piano, but... Yeah, whatever.
I played a cello for a year and then went and finally got on the bass. So,
oh, that's why you took offense to the bass comment.
Oh, of course. Bass, violin, bass guitar. But I know he's fourth. but he beats out the second guitarist. So there's still some,
you know, where he's. Yeah.
Most bass players are pretty chill.
Hey, I never said there was anything wrong with them.
No, they're just not the frontline guy. I'm just saying.
Or the second or the third.
They're just the chill guy in the background. I mean, that describes him.
Yeah. So can't be the crazy fucking drummer, so.
Right. Drummers are crazy, the good ones. The lead singer's just what? The face of everyone just remembers them. Lead guitarist because they can do more.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's I mean, they're all getting laid, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's the lead singer and lead guitar that they're out front.
Yeah.
For the most part, carrying things, and then there's everybody else. I mean, even the drummer too but you know, I think that's the top three, and then there's
And then the bass is the top of the whatever comes after.
Yeah. So, the JV squad.
Second tier in the band. He's the top guy on the JV squad. But you know how many
levels to this shit.
Yeah, it's a
cast. But if you don't have a bass player,
it sounds empty.
It does. Or some of them that try to do things without a drum. It's like
with keyboards or something.
Yeah.
Or electronic shit.
Yeah, you might as well be EDM at that point.
Exactly. Yeah.
A few people can pull it off, but they're the one offs.
It's rare.
Yeah. They're the one offs.
So they're usually some kind of lame music, anyways. That's probably getting fucking billions of hits on YouTube.
Well.
I was trying to think. Is Imagine Dragons? Is that like a couple people? I don't know.
Yeah,
I absolutely hate this band, but I'm totally blown away by the numbers they fucking do.
They had what, one good song, one or two?
Go look at YouTube and go look at their all of their songs have like over a billion views. Like their lower songs have like 500 million.
Really? I
don't get it. I don't think their songs are good. I think they're boring radio tunes.
Well, you know, and a lot of the radio music is all just catchy tunes. It just kind of hooks you and you play. They're not good.
Actually, there's four of them. I don't know if they started out differently, but there's four of them in the band from Las Vegas. The band first gained exposure with the release of their single It's Time, followed by their award-winning debut studio album Night Visions, which resulted in the chart-topping singles Radioactive and Demons. And in all honesty, I don't know that I know any of those tunes.
The only reason I know any of them is because I've heard my kid playing them.
Yeah, and I actually heard of one of their tunes through some Disney show, but it was a cover, like some Disney show did a cover of an Imagine Dragons tune. So I didn't even know it was their tune. I thought it was some Disney concocted BS. To your point, CJ, like
maybe it's trash.
How do you really feel? You know, you can't hold that shit in. You really need to let out your emotions. Just
I've been on this kick for like a couple months because there was like one of those nights that you're going through like all your good music on YouTube, you know, just kind of jamming out.
Yeah, chilling and or whatever.
There was the Imagine Dragons video like recommended. I'm like, look at it. I'm like, does that say 1.2 billion? I clicked on. I'm like, I know this fucking song. And then I like, it shows like all their shit. I'm like, how the fuck do they have so many plays?
How the fuck are you like McDonald's? With
you know what it is? Served? It's all those Generation Z.
Generation doesn't know anything
good. Your next generation is starting. See how we feel now. We think your music's
Welcome to the club.
Hold up. Hold up. Time out. Time out. First of all,
you're getting old. You're over the 30 mark. You don't.
I bet you that there are more fans of Imagine Dragons that are my age. Yeah, I bet you. Really? Because they actually came around in like what, early 2010s, 2005. It's around there. So that would have been whenever we were growing up, meaning my people, my age. My
people. 2008.
Yep.
Oh, okay. So that means that you guys are just starting to get money so you can start to vote now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What? You have to have money to vote?
When you buy things or you're getting stuff.
You're voting with your pay. Yes, I get you.
Yes. Finally, you're hitting the age where you can do that.
Yeah, no. This is not for kids. I mean, it could be for kids, but it's people that my fucking age group that are pushing these people.
I remember when my kid was like, I want to say 10 or 11. It was like, you should listen to this new group that I found. What is it? Led Zeppelin. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But is that Stairway to Heaven? What is that?
Yeah.
Nobody's ever heard that song.
You're like, uh-huh.
You know, it's yeah. Yeah. Oh, I heard this cool band. Whether it's the Beatles or Rolling Stones or the Who, like,
does that make you feel good or old?
Old.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm glad he's listening to something better, but at the same token, it's like, no, I'm not. I'm going to let you say it's new because then I can pretend it doesn't make me feel old.
Yeah.
When I was listening to them when I was your age, makes me feel old. Yeah.
And they were close. Yeah. And even that album, it had been out for how long?
Right.
5, 10 years by the time you're listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and I have heard Radioactive by Imagine Dragons.
Oh, trust me. You've heard more of their songs that you fucking
know. I've thought it was a Pentatonics tune than it was an Imagine Dragons tune. Mm-hmm.
That's why when I listen to them, I'm like, how can there be more than like a guy in the band? Because it's like
video
somebody snapping. Like the I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah.
And
anyway,
I could go on to this one.
If you want to know what grinds really CJ's gears, Imagine Dragons.
Out of all bands that have that many views, that's not the one.
So if there's ever a concert I know to buy CJ tickets for, that's the one.
If you do, I would take them. And I would sell them because that's an expensive ass ticket. I think you're dropping a lot of money for a fucking joke, pal.
It'd be like, can you put a different name on here? Or like they were doing the cover or something, and it had CJ gets there, it doesn't realize. If you could pull it off, that would be cool.
Or just tell him, hey, we're going to a concert. I got tickets.
That'd be hard.
Who are we going to see? Jerry Seinfeld. Show up and it's Dave Chappelle. And then show up and it's Imagine Dragons.
I was about to say, if you said Jerry Seinfeld, I'd probably be like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You'd see Dave Chappelle, though.
Yes.
Yes.
Even though his last stand-up has not been that, like, as funny.
No, I think the very last one he did, I mean, he, you know, took a bunch of poop before doing that. And I don't know that's him backing down, but I think he was maybe taken aback or trying to thread some needle.
I don't remember which one exactly it was, but I'm, you know, thinking back to like a Chappelle show and like his older stand up. And then I hear some of this, I'm like, it's funny, but it's not like you know, Bert Kreischer funny or Tom Segura right now.
I think part of it is he's saying stuff and it's almost subliminal. I was listening to some of his recent one and it's like he's making jokes and it's making people think. They're like, I laughing, but is no, he's making a point. He just made fun of me. Is I in there yeah. And you hear it almost in some of the laughter on some of the jokes. It's like, oh, he's talking about me. I'm like that Karen, or I'm that. I think people are catching up. He's like putting out some good words of wisdom, and people are getting caught off guard by, oh, yeah, that should be what? Wait. Yeah. Wait.
He's got a great bit about Jesse Smollett. Highly recommend people watch that. And there's a moment where he goes, you know, basically he's like, that's not something that white people would say. It sounds like something I would say. But I saw an interesting video of him here not too recently. And I don't know if he was just giving a talk or what the situation was, but he basically was recounting a story where he's like 15 or 16, like really just trying to figure out what the heck was going on kind of thing. And he had some really funny joke. I forget what it was, but he had some funny joke and somebody overheard him telling it. It's like, hey, can I borrow, in essence, can I borrow that material? I'll let you have it. But I've got this gig and coming up, and he's like, oh yeah, sure. Go ahead. And it's like, you know, we're just all trying to, you know, all new guys trying to figure out what the heck we're doing. He's like, yeah, sure. If you think you can use it, go ahead. And then it was like a year later, or months later, or some period of time later. And Chappelle's saying, I'm at some comedy club or some comedy festival where it's, you know, just, and this guy happened to be on before him. And this is when he was still kind of unknown and all that sort of stuff. But he tells the joke that he talked to Chappelle about and killed with it. And he's like, oh, wait a minute. You said you wanted to borrow that. It's time for you to give it back kind of thing. Right. And he's like, well, I tell you what, I meant to talk to you. I'll give you $50. For it kind of thing. And he's like, no, I want the joke back. It's mine. And then he ended up getting nothing for it. And it's this guy basically told him, you know, kind of F you, I own it. I could just take it from you. And there's nothing you can do about it kind of thing. Like with this attitude. And he's like, that was the first time I realized like, ain't nobody gives a shit. Like, and it's stuck with me to this day. Like even now, I can feel it. Like I can that moment. And then there was some other thing where, you know, years later he was actually starting to make a bit of money doing comedy, barely, but just a little. And he had, was supposed to take some woman out for the weekend. She was coming into town after his first tour. And he's like, I had $60. Literally, not kidding, I had $60 to my name, and she's coming to town expecting, you know, here I'm thinking she's expecting this huge thing, and all I got is $60. Like, and then go to see some guy playing three card Monte on the street. And of course, there's hooting and hollering and all this sort of stuff. And he's like, I noticed this, so I knew I could win, plunked my $60 down. Follow the lady where, you know, where she stops, nobody, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I was new. The card was there. Flips it over, and it wasn't the card. Out my $60. And then I watched, and then I realized all you guys, the people in the crowd, everybody's in on it. Like, it's not, and he said something, and I hate to say, I can't think of what the lesson was, something about, like, the guy really took him and you know, was about ready to beat him. And he said, I was so scared that that's probably what stopped him from beating the shit out of me. But I realized he said something basically, don't screw the game, or don't, like, if you got a good thing going, don't, you know, whatever, something along those lines. And he's like, that stuck with me too. So, and I didn't get to finish it, but it's just an interesting, you know, those two things, you could totally see that, right? It's like, once you got a good thing rolling, don't F it up, but you know, nobody's going to care either. So you need to guard yourself or your property or the things that you make, your whatever, the golden goose kind of thing. And then make sure you don't F it up kind of thing, like, which seems like, you know, solid advice, but it was a Dave Chappelle that I hadn't seen. You know, normally it's comedy bits, and even if he's being serious, he's still trying to be funny, but this was him almost like TED Talk serious, like, and it, of course, the whole time he was smoking a big fat joint, but which I'd expect nothing less, but
of course.
Yeah. I digress.
Yeah. Well, I was going to play catch up, and then you posted 100 skills every man should know. And I think that's what we should go down, because we'll see how many we'll read them off, and then we'll say yes. If all three of us know, or no, if you haven't.
Yep.
We'll have a good comparison.
Are we here voting on these, or saying if we do or not?
If we can do it or not.
Okay.
Like, awesome. The first one is,
and even if we get through half of the list,
yeah,
depending on time, then we'll do part two.
Two or something.
We've done that before. So
like, tie a necktie. Can you actually tie an actual, how many knots do you know?
Primarily just a Windsor.
Yeah.
There's a half Windsor.
A half Windsor, but I can do a full one, but it takes me, like, the double takes me.
Oh, I can do those two.
Okay. CJ?
YouTube is my best friend.
Have you ever tied a tie?
Yes.
Okay.
But I had to use YouTube every single time. Because I mean, how many times have I ever had to tie a tie? Is probably two or three times, honestly. So I'm like, what?
Minimum growing up was four times a month, unless there was something special going on. And then it was plus. So I will say, on average, I tied a tie six times a month.
Oh, shit.
Well, if I did it, then it's a skill, right?
Yeah.
Hey, YouTube counts. Hey, you went and looked it up.
I think that's a box that's checked. Yeah, go ahead. Let's just keep going. Otherwise, we'll be here all night.
Yeah. Next one we should all have is build a campfire.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, to back up. Just like CJ, if you don't know how to tie a tie, go to YouTube, learn how to tie a tie.
Yeah.
Every man should know how to tie. Don't just turn around to whatever gal and say, can you tie this? Unless you're in a real hurry. Learn how to tie a tie.
I will say, when it comes to tying a tie, it's one thing to do it. If you're trying to help somebody or teach somebody, it's hard for me anyway, because
I just now put it on myself.
Now, because I'm trying to think in reverse. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, no, wait, you're going the wrong way. Oh, just give it to me.
Yep. I got to do it myself. And I can't look. I can't look it when I tie it. I can just do it. If I look in a mirror or something, trying to get the lengths and everything, oh, I screwed it all up. I got it.
That's what the first time I did it, it didn't take me long. The second time, I could not get the length right, and I was pissing me off. It took me like a good 25 minutes.
Yep.
I would, because every time I get it, I'm like, what the fuck?
You have one side that's got like 2 inches, but then the other side feels like it's 4 feet. Yeah.
Oh, yep. God. That's why we should go back to 3-piece suits and have a vest. Yep. Then length doesn't matter.
It's all hidden.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on from ties, because I can rant about ties.
You said campfire. Yes.
Build a campfire.
And build a campfire.
Build a campfire.
CJ? You guys use certain techniques. Yes, of course. I like to try to do it different every time, though.
It depends on where I'm at. If I'm at home, I'll use a lot of modern technology. If I'm out camping, I might just play around with my flint and steel just for fun.
That's a good point, too, is being able to do something like that or alternate ways of creating fire, whether it's flint or, I mean, having a flint and steel would be easy to do, but just any of those other ways to try and do that, not just solely relying on lighters or matches, because in a pinch.
Well, and make your own fire starters. All you need is a paper tube tool and lint from your dryer.
Really?
Yeah. Take that, stuff it in there. Some people will mix up a little wax with it or something, or some Vaseline so it'll burn. But yeah, take it, shove it in a paper tube. Yeah, they light great. Good fire starters.
Awesome.
There's all kinds of different variations of mixing it up. But yeah, dryer lint works wonders.
Yeah, that's good. That's what burns down houses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fair. Okay,
let's see what's saying. Hang a picture, and I'm going to add level.
Yes,
hang the picture, and it needs to be level. If you ever hung a picture, CJ,
more than I would like to admit.
Yeah, see, I'm in the same boat. You know, though, is I know someone that had to ask his neighbor for help to hang some pictures in a shelf. So I know there's guys out there that don't know how to. You would think it's simple as putting a nail in and just, but
yeah. Yeah. If it's just one hook or it's a wire across, those are easy enough. What sucks is if it's a frame that has two hooks on either side.
Side. Mm-hmm.
And my daughters have a couple of those where there's a hook on either on the left and right edge, and getting those
level.
It's one thing to get them the right distance apart, but making sure that they're level is the other piece.
Yeah. Okay, next, shine your shoes.
No.
CJ, have you ever owned a pair of shoes that you needed to shine?
No. Cleaned shoes.
Yeah. About I would say I didn't learn how to shine shoes until I was in the military. Now I know how to shine shoes.
Well, there's not that many shoes now that people actually shine, and there's none that I would wear. All the nice shoes that I wear, they're not that kind of leather or material.
Yeah. That seems to be a dying art unless you're in the dress. And then they got those no polish shoes now, which I think look horrible.
Those ones like glossy.
Yeah.
But I've been thinking about getting a pair of shoes or two, like a black and a brown pair, purposely, and shine them. My dad has an old school kit. He probably hasn't used it since he retired, which was eons ago now. But had a brush and rags and the whole schmear. And oh yeah,
I wonder if Cooper knows how.
Coop does.
Coop does. Yeah.
I'd be shocked if he did. Especially military, but
yeah, he's military on top of just what he shines. He probably has three different ways of doing it, but yeah. I would say I would clean them, and I thought I knew how to polish shoes, but yeah, the military taught me how to polish. I can make things shine if I really want to, but yeah.
Well, like CJ said, right? I mean, these days it's less of a thing where, you know, or, you know, if you have a pair of dress shoes that you wear for funerals and rare special occasions, right? You're not going to have need to do it. So.
Wipe it down and call it a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Treat a snake bite.
I can honestly say I have not done that one.
You've never treated a snake bite?
I've treated all of mine.
I was going to say, CJ, better have.
Oh, speaking of snake, I fucking found one today. Not at my house, not the one that fucking got out. I saw one out in the wild. Caught him.
So you have a wild snake now?
No, I didn't keep him. I'm not keeping a fucking garden or something.
Yeah, they do. But I was just getting this image of like a horse wrangler, but a snake. Like CJ's got a little lasso.
But let's back up. You said you lost one?
I thought I told you guys about this.
No, no. One of your snakes got loose.
Oh yeah. Let me start with
this. Was it the big African python?
Oh, yeah. The 12 footer? That's 500 pounds? Yeah. He's loose. We can't find him. Yeah.
Okay. Where do you live again? No, I'm just kidding.
It's just a fucking milk snake, which is, they're not big. And they're not poisonous. If they bite you, it feels like sandpaper. But this guy, ever since I've had him, he's been like that one that he's very active all the fucking time. Always try to get out of his cage. And so we had 12 books and a potted plant on it. And it was not a small potted plant. And I was going in to change the water. No snake in there. Have not seen him. Nothing. Yeah, I got two guesses. Well, actually, I got one at this point. He went in the vents because we have an older style house and those vents are not like the vents in newer houses and they're easy as fuck to get in for a snake.
Oh, I was going to say the dog ate it.
Well, I don't think they would eat it. I think they would tear him up and leave him.
Oh, I don't know. I think your puppy would eat it. No. Your big boy won't, but your puppy would.
No, he wouldn't.
Maybe your fiance killed it.
I highly doubt that.
I'm just kidding. Shadow
actually caught a baby bunny, killed it, and then just left it. Well, he had it in his mouth. He's more or less about showing his prize, not eating it.
Yeah. He's a shower.
Mm-hmm. He's not much of a grower.
All right. Next one on the list. This one's funny, but you'd be amazed at how many people don't read a book.
Constantly? Yeah. Is it constantly or at all?
But it's like open book, read words, close book. That's all there is to reading a book. But there are so many people that won't even do the first step of open the book to read it.
I mean, I think we can all answer this.
Yeah,
I've never read a book ever.
I like reading the back page and assuming what happened.
Although I did see something here lately where there's some post somewhere about people wanting to learn, but something about not being at school, like the people who aren't in school, like whether you've gone to college or you didn't or whatever, but people want to learn, but they, something about taking course and somebody chimed in, just read a fucking book. And then once you're done with that one, Read another one.
Yeah. Or apply it in real life. Ooh, speaking of which, this is funny this came up because we went out to eat yesterday and I think it's the owner of the place we were not impressed. But anyways, so you know how like the owner will come around and ask how everything is? So he came over and he like put his hands on my shoulder, which I don't have a problem with, but leaned in and like stared straight at me. I'm like, okay.
You're gonna kiss me?
He did it three times. The last time I just wouldn't even like say anything or look at him. Like, this is so fucking weird. I'm done. We leave and I look at Allie. I'm like, that's one of those people that read a book to like show you how to connect with people, but takes it ultimately literally.
He starts spooning with you in the restaurant.
Oh my God.
I'm just trying to build a connection here.
I'm just trying to eat, motherfucker. Could you not? I told Allie, I'm like, I wouldn't mind it if he did the eye contact and the shoulder, but the lean in part was the part that like, this is too much.
Yeah. Just
and extra. I'm not going to say anything.
It was that musk you put on, CJ. Are you using, what was it? From Anchorman, what was it? Jaguar piss or something?
Sex Panther.
There we go. I knew it was a big cat. I couldn't remember.
70% of the time, it works every time. That was not what I was looking to attract, but okay, I'll take it. Can you at least buy me a drink? Fuck.
All right, number 7 on our list. This one's goofy. It says survive a bear attack. I would say avoid a bear attack. I don't think that's worded how I would say. Well, if the bear gets a hold of you, you're pretty well.
Are we talking about black bear or grizzly bear? We're talking about two completely different fucking things.
In this,
black bear, I go, and they're gone. Grizzly bear, you're fucked.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is he says survive a bear attack. Well, I would be like, what do you got to do to avoid a bear attack? What you just put down, CJ. You know, it's what are you going to do to scare them off? Or
yeah, because black bears are very timid and grizzly bears are territorial. Those are two, it's a different fucking thing.
My answer would be, if you're in bear country, a big gun.
Or if you got anything that has a scent, put it in a box.
Yeah. Yeah,
when we were in Yellowstone, holy fuck, that was, God.
It'd be almost situational awareness. If you see a bear, don't go over there and try to take a selfie with it.
So if you saw a bear, if you saw a grizzly bear, but it was like a good 3 football fields away, so it's not close, but it's not far enough that you feel comfortable, what would be the first thing you would do?
Probably slowly walk away while keeping my eyes on it.
It'd be hard not to fucking freeze.
Well, no, I think I would freeze up first just to be like, kind of like a deer thing. Did he see me? Did he smell me? No? Okay, I'm going this direction.
I don't know. That's a fucking stupid thing. Anyways,
next one. If you're in bear country, go read some books that we talked about earlier on what you should do to avoid, and because you're going to their habitat. Yeah, you know, that's with any wild animal. People, it's like,
scat footprints and broken limbs.
Yeah. All right, next one. Wet shave. We're talking the old fashioned with either a safety or a straight razor.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Wow. We're all yeses on that one. That's all I use anymore.
A safety or straight?
Safety.
Yeah. Same.
I can use a straight. The problem is it takes more time than I want to. If I'm in a mood to like practice or like take my time, it does do a better shave, but it's like I got to get my strap out. I need to
sharpen it. That's the thing. Yeah, yeah.
It's like I need time to do that.
Neck is makes me too nervous.
Really?
Too nervous. I don't know.
My barber
does it the real good, and then I just trim it up with a trimmer. You know what? I know how to do it, but I'm not willing to take that risk half the time to do it the right way.
Well, and I learned a trick, and this actually helped out a lot to practice if you're going to use a straight razor, is put shaving cream on a balloon and then shave the balloon. If you can do it without popping the balloon,
you're good.
Yeah.
It's just that going over the Adam's apple kind of shit.
Go slow and stretch the skin. My problem is there's a few places where with a straight, I got to switch hands to get there right.
I don't like
and that. Left
I'm
hand.
Not so good with my left.
See, that's what I'm saying. I can do the whole one side.
One side is fantastic.
The other side
looks like you got mauled by a bear.
All right. Number 9, parallel park.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can do that.
All right,
I don't even have a backup camera.
CJ,
what's up?
Bonus one, can you parallel park your truck?
Ooh.
Are you asking if I ever would or if I could?
If you can.
Oh, I definitely could.
Yeah, see? Okay.
It's just, I do notice that whenever I'm in either vehicle, I'm way better without the camera, but I like the camera to see how close things are.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I do everything up to with the mirrors, unless I want to back up like it's a tight one. And then I'll look at the camera just to see how close I'm to the bumper to kind of gauge between the two cars. But I only use my mirrors to, if I try to do it with just the camera, I end up hitting the curb and scuffing my tires, which that drives me bad.
You know what I'd rather have than the backup camera? A camera in the fucking front.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Can you paddle a canoe? Do you know the proper way to paddle a canoe?
Left, right, left, right. Oh, I'm thinking a kayak. Yes. But it's still the same.
Yes.
Same concept, different title. Whatever.
Three lefts, then a right.
You can use a fucking kayak paddle for a canoe. Act like you couldn't. Why don't you just fucking use one of those? All works the fucking
I'm
same.
Moving on. I'm just moving
on. I love it. I love how CJ is like, get off my fucking back, Nate. God.
Well, it's better than being up the creek without a paddle.
So that's a yes.
You know, here's what, this will be a funny back with scouts. They were having a canoe day there, and it was amazing how many of the little Cub Scout guys all knew how to paddle a canoe, but their dads didn't. But all these city boys and stuff, they'd never been out, you know, trying to get their boys out. Most of the dads couldn't paddle a canoe to save their lives. Their boys are trying to tell their dads what to do so they can go paddle their canoe. Of course, they're not listening to the kid because they don't think he knows anything. So it's just a big cluster. And it's like, yeah, you guys don't know what you're doing. Oh, number 11 is a big one. Negotiate / haggle. If you ever bought a brand new car, hell, if you've ever bought a car, you should know how to haggle.
Yeah.
I would say I'm better at haggling and bartering than I am at negotiating.
Yeah, I've.
I can't say I ever have because mine are all being used, so it's a set price. I have haggled for one car, but I wasn't willing to fucking do what he was offering. So
yeah,
I wasn't wasting my time.
But if you. Yeah. I don't know. I've bartered a lot, and I put that in kind of as a haggle. I think of haggling as more bartering. Or, yeah, just in my own.
Yeah, I don't do it a lot, or haven't done it a lot. From a car perspective, is one of the times I've done it. The other one is actually a divorce, finalizing the divorce decree or agreement, and a lot of that was probably the best or most
negotiation
it was in a lot of ways that brought that out. And there are some things that even the lawyer, he probably caught, but I just remember at one point I was asking him questions. He's like, have you ever considered becoming a lawyer? Like, well,
nice. Oh, hell. All right. Have you ever fixed a leaky faucet?
Sadly, yes.
Way too many.
Yeah.
CJ's thinking if he has it, he will, because he owns a house now.
Does it count that I have to do it a certain way so it stops leaking?
Yep.
Yeah. However you fix it.
We got one knob that if you don't like crank on it, it'll do the little drip drop. So I gotta do two hands on it and turn it a little bit more, and then it stops. I mean, that's
whenever you get there.
Hey, it stops leaking. So
yep.
Yeah. All right. Have you ever treated a burn?
Yeah.
Yeah. So many, I have lost count of, yeah, first, second, and third degree. Third degree burns, I've only had to do a couple of times, and it's on my list of that.
It's just, I don't know, burnt flesh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, there's burnt flesh, and then there's steam burn.
Oof, no, fuck you.
You know, a steam burn, I've only seen this once. We were working in a kitchen in the griddle, and everyone that we cleaned it, when I did it, the other guy did it, we'd always pour water on it just to cook everything off. Well, you start at one end and you pour, you know, so the steam's behind you. This one gal thought she could do it and poured into it. Oh my God. All that steam came up and hit her forearm, and it just went right in. It was hanging. It instantly blistered up and was just, it like cooked the inside of the flesh. It was like we were doing whatever we could do just to keep her arm together. I forget. They grabbed a pan or something to put underarm just to hold it, pack it in. It was horrid. The poor gal, yeah. But it basically cooked her inside out. Those are the, yeah. Gasoline burns is when I've done second degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking just Neosporin and a Band-Aid, but good fucking God.
And then the other one other bad burn. I didn't actually, oh, this is funny.
Oh, Jesus Christ. More burn shit.
Yeah, this one's comical. Because anybody that ever thinks that diesel fuel is not flammable, well, I can tell you for sure that in the winter, when they put additives in diesel fuel, it'll pop pretty quick. Well, I used to work at a steel mill, and then there was the scrap yard was on, let's see, the west side of the steel mill, big-ass steel mill, three-story tall, and I lived about a mile to the east of the mill. And south a little. And one night I was standing outside and I was looking over at the mill. I was off that night and I saw a big flash in the sky. And I'm like, oh crap, what blew up at the mill? Since I wasn't working, I kind of like ignored it. Went in the next day and everybody had to tell me, of course, that one of the guys walked out there, couldn't find his flashlight, thought he was low on fuel on his crane. So he opened up the tank and he was almost empty, which is even worse. And when he went to look, he flipped his lighter on.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it put like 100-foot flame into the sky. Lost part of his face, lost a hand. It was bad. It was, yeah, don't check fuel with a lighter. Bad. Never.
See, this is the added, you know, this is the quality service that the BR podcast provides.
Yeah.
There's a level of retardation in all of that.
Yeah. Because normally, I mean, you can take a, you know, if you got a, like just a bucket of diesel fuel and throw a match into it, it nothing won't happens. Burn. Nothing happens.
Too much surface area.
Right. But yeah, when a tank is almost empty and it's all
fumes.
It's fumes. Fumes will blow. Even gasoline is hard to set in fire unless there's fumes.
Honestly, it's easier if you're not even touching the gas.
Right.
Because the fumes off the gas will go into the gas.
Yes.
I don't think people know how things work.
And then things blow up. That's always fun. All right. If you haven't figured it out listening to our podcast, number 14 is tell a joke. And if you haven't been laughing at us,
we don't have a sense of humor.
Yeah, no sense of humor.
But that is a good point. Like humor, like being able to make people laugh and without, you know, slapstick bullshit. Is important.
Let's see. Can you predict the weather?
Yeah, actually. Looking at the sky or wind direction.
I just go outside and look at my weather stone.
Don't you have a weather? Oddly warm in fucking November. It's probably going to be windy.
And they mentioned, I'm guessing they mentioned the, what is it, red sky at night, sailor's delight.
Yeah. My favorite, though, is in the kind of talking about this, you know, looking at the news and they're wrong. It's like, yeah, it's going to be a nice sunny day and you're driving down the road and getting hammered by rain. And you're like, yeah, no, you're wrong. Just look outside. Look outside. Yeah.
Well, and you can even tell.
The weather's just a guess usually.
Yeah. But I think the point of this is, right, can you without, like if you were out somewhere, even just outside away from a phone or any sort of thing, can you tell what's going to happen over the next handful of hours?
Or even a minute, like if you're like out on a lake or you're going for a hike something and all of a sudden it starts cooling off and getting darker.
Yeah. You run.
There might be a rainstorm coming up or a squall or something or whatever. It's like,
if you're sailing, there's a strong wind. All of a sudden, there's no wind.
Yes, that sucks. I'd almost have wanted to go the storm way. But or the other thing I can think of is, do you ever like watch the weather when you're traveling? Like, what states are you going to? You know, did you just look at the local weather report? Kind of predict the weather. Okay, it's raining in St. Louis. Will it get up to me in Chicago? You know, where does the normal weather patterns go?
Yeah, well, it's kind of cool. The girls learned about, you know, the various types of clouds in school. And so, like, now when we're driving around, oh, those look like cumulus clouds or thunderstorm cloud, like whatever, cumulonimbus, whatever. Anyway, point is, they look like that's, yeah, but they're over, you know, over in Iowa, or they're to the, if they're to the west, you know that they're coming towards us, and maybe we're going to get rain. If they're forming right over us, right, that means somebody else is going to get the rain, kind of thing. But you know, stuff like that, being able to tell that stuff, and you can tell a whole bunch, even the direction of the wind, if you know, if you understand how high pressure systems and low pressure systems work. So then you could tell which side of those things you're on and whether or not it's going to be rainy or not.
No. So. Okay. Do a dead left properly. I know both of you can. I've seen you. So,
Can do a deadlift.
Yep.
What you guys are up to, what, 850 now?
That's a lot. CJ is.
That's a light day.
Oh, yeah. Here's one I can't do anymore. Recite a poem from memory. Yeah, well, let's see. Hold on. Roses are red, violets are blue. You smell like a monkey and look like one too. Okay, I can do a poem.
In all honesty, I thought you were going to do some limerick. once a man from Nantucket.
Actually, what I used to, and this is like 20 years ago now, and I couldn't even begin to remember, I got on a big kick of reading haikus. And creating and memorizing those, and I would do those all the time.
Yeah,
but that's one of those things. If you're not constantly practicing, it goes
like a fart in the wind.
The wind lasted longer.
I used to have the poem Invictus memorized, but if I don't keep saying it, I didn't have it down well enough that it's stuck in there. So that's the thing. Like I could recite it like a week or two out, a month maybe, but then if it's one of those, it wasn't locked away permanently. So
CJ, are you a poem person? So we're all no on poem. That actually
negatory. Negatory, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.
All right. Just remember in English class learning about it. I'm like, what? This is no. Right. Not for me.
Not for you. So you've never read any big works of art type poems like the Iliad or Canterbury Tales? Nothing.
You said recite, not read. Are we talking about forced in school? Yeah, possibly.
Possibly. Okay. Yes, I'm saying recite, but at one time I could recite quite a bit of the Canterbury Tales, and a little bit of the Iliad, and lots. That's why I ask. It's fine. Now, here's one that it's grill with charcoal. I'm going to put myself at a step below novice.
Yeah.
I have cooked things with charcoal, but I'm not really, like, I've cooked burgers and hot dogs and stuff, but I'm not good cooking with charcoal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, have I? Yes.
It counts.
Do I prefer it? Fuck no.
You'd rather electrocute your food?
I like a griddle.
You know, I actually would rather use wood. And yes, I know it goes
down. Campfire.
Yeah, I can cook over a campfire easier than I can cook over charcoal. I don't know why that is.
Charcoal is such a pain in the ass to start.
It is. Just need a lot more lighter fluid.
I mean, just I'm the guy that just rather turn the knob and
work. Yeah. Yeah, you're good at turning knobs.
See, like my own.
That's what I like about you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I have my skills. It's not charcoal. It's not.
What else?
Next on our list is perform CPR.
Yep.
I'm a yep.
Haven't had to actually do it, but I know how to do it.
I've only had to do the breathing part once.
Oh, your boyfriend?
Yeah.
You said you mouth liked the mouth it. Action. Hey. You thought I was drowning. It was a farce the whole time.
It was a win-win.
It was.
No, yeah, it was working on a kid that he didn't drown, but he took on a bunch of water. And. He
still Although had I think pulse. Now it's they mostly focus on compressions.
Yeah.
It's more Whenever about the I compression. Did.
The one thing that I didn't know about CPR is the head tilt.
Yeah.
That was the one part that I actually learned something. Yep.
Yeah. Now, do you guys have current cards? I do not. I need to take a current, take a new class.
Oh, mine is not current. It's a couple years old.
I'm like 12 years.
12 years?
I got mine 12 years ago. So, yeah.
I'm like, it's supposed to be every other year. Yeah. I need to read. Well, but a lot of places, you don't know this, a lot of places offer the class for free. So even with the paid ones out there, there are places you can go to get like some of the smaller fire departments and stuff. If you pay attention, they'll put on free courses for CPR. What's the big one? American Red Cross, I think, is $75. I can't think of the other group. There's another big group that puts it on, and they'll do one
cross.
Maybe.
Is it the?
They'll do one for like, it's like $20 or $25. It's like almost, and it's labeled as a donation. They're not actually charging. They're asking for like a donation of $20 or something. So it's like, it's next to nothing. And for what they're teaching you, might be worth it. So everyone should have CPR. I should have mine updated, and you should do it every, not necessarily every other year, but
every so often, just to make sure,
or at least have the fucking knowledge to be able to do it, even if you're not have the certification. I mean, just, you know, if something happens in your home, you don't have a card, it's not like you're gonna go to fucking jail for trying to bring somebody back to life.
Yeah, well, the other thing that the last CPR classes they were talking, and I hadn't worked with them before, was the AFib things.
Oh, yeah.
Those little battery operated deals.
Oh, yeah.
Up in the chest and over on the rib.
Yep. I had seen them like out at the parks and stuff. They'll have, you know, break glass in case emergency type thing. But I had never actually played. So it was like I got to learn
defibrillator.
Yeah.
So. I almost said distributor. Same thing.
Same, only different.
Yeah.
All right. Can you throw a spiral? They're talking about a football.
I have thrown one, not recently, but I'd like to think I can.
I've done it over the summer. My shoulder can't handle too many of them. Never has. Yeah,
throw underhand.
What?
Can you throw underhand?
Yeah, I can throw underhand for both. Like an hour. I can do like three or four overhand.
Mm-hmm. Like bombs, just 100 yards, Hail Marys.
And I'm done.
Nail it.
Yeah. Now, if I can go underhand, oh, I can throw for a long time under. Underhand. Do you know the proper way to sew on a button?
No.
I don't know if it's the proper way, but I can sew on a button.
I'm a yes.
You're saying proper? I'm saying no. Can I put it back on? Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Have you sewed a button on?
Little duct tape will just put that.
The things that I've done for pants to keep them on have nothing to do with buttons. I've used nails, electric wire.
Staples.
Yeah.
Roofing staples.
But just not put. Why don't you just sew the button back on?
Because that sounds like a pain in the ass when I can just bend a nail and it doesn't fucking move. Priorities.
I mean, not wrong.
Have you never? How about like a nice dress shirt, button up shirt? Have you never had a button popped off? You know when
all
you
the
flip
time.
The side of the shirt over, there's some extra buttons down on the bottom.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay, that's in case a button pops off. You have those there to replace.
You're acting like I wear those things all the time, and if they don't fit, I just buy new ones.
I see him working.
And I see
modern problems require modern solutions. Come on now.
You got to, right? It's that out of the box thinking that us grizzled ancients, you know, we're just stuck in.
Oh, my.
Throwing up buttons on for poor people.
Hey, how about this, CJ? CJ, do you even own a sewing kit?
Fuck no.
Okay.
Allie might. I don't.
Yeah.
Why? What the fuck do I look like to you?
I don't know. I guess I've been sewing buttons on since I was little, so... I probably been sewing buttons on before you were born.
That doesn't take much for your old ass.
I know. All right, moving on. Have you ever split firewood?
Yes.
It's amazing how many dads, and I'm going back to scouting days, did not know how to split firewood.
Wait, did they try using an axe or a maul? That's always my favorite one.
Both, all, yeah. We had one thing that was set up where we teach them how to split like smaller stuff with like a hatchet, hitch it in a board, how to use an axe, how to use a maul, how to use a sledge and a splitter, and I got to the point I didn't even want to help teach it because I would rather go work the gun range with the littles than worry. Oh, look at me. No. How many like toes and shins and feet? Like you guys don't know what you're doing. It's like, yeah.
It's impressive how bad some people are at some simple things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just like, now this one I
now think one thing I haven't done. Sorry, one thing I haven't done is fell a tree with an axe.
No, I haven't. Well,
I mean, I've
I mean, I've done it just to say I have type thing, but I haven't done it like on like any big, I mean, like a 12 inch tree,
like something that matters.
It was just me going to see if I could take a felling axe and use it. Yeah. I've done that. Not, and I wouldn't even say it was all that great.
But
have you ever watched the steal the contest that they have?
Like, yeah, the lumberjack stuff.
Yeah,
that shit's fun to watch. The one that they're standing on top of it and chopping at it. That's my shit.
Yep, chopping. They'll climb up, put those planks and stuff.
Oh, that one too. Yeah, where they notch out the.
Oh, that's fucking crazy.
It is. They notch it, climb up, and then they got to chop the top off. Those guys are pros, though. They got special axes, and they just their techniques are down. Me, I had a nice little.
Yeah, you're just legit belly. Hacking away.
Yeah. I'm legit. It's
slasher movie.
Funk, funk, funk. Hey, at least I know how to move around and split. But yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
But that would be a good skill to learn too, and it doesn't have to be some huge redwood. I mean, but to your point, like just being able to knock down a tree,
take out a toe,
yeah. Knock down a tree, delimit, and then cut it up into firewood.
Everyone should
do that once with an axe.
For me, we had these trees fall, and I was trying to cut it up with a chainsaw, and it was your whole back fucking kills. I was just like hacking at it with the hatchet instead. I'm like, this is so much better. I'd rather do that.
You just didn't have the right kind of chainsaw.
I do.
How long's your bar?
I don't fucking know. Foot and a half.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's not a small one. It's one of the steels.
Okay. So you got a big boy.
Yeah.
And your back was still hurting.
Yeah, because the fucking log was laying on the ground and I had to bend over to fucking do it. And
oh, see, my bar is long enough. Maybe my arms are longer than yours. I hardly bend over. I got the bar and stuff. I just kind of stay in there and cut.
It's just so much easier for me to throw a fucking hatchet around.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Next one is fine potable water. That means it's drinkable. I think that's harder than you think anymore when you're out and about trying. You should probably take a filter.
Yeah.
Yeah, there would be like very few places I would actually want to drink the water. The mountains in Colorado is probably like the few that I could even think of. Unless you like know there's an actual natural spring, I wouldn't fucking drink that water.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. There's places where you'd think
Might be clean, but also you don't know what chemicals have ran off into there, especially the fertilizer from the fields, especially living in the Midwest.
Yep.
The creek out back isn't.
Yeah.
I should be drinking water out of that.
You ever had hell diarrhea?
Yeah. Learn to purify, figure out a way to purify it, clean it, something. Oh, here's an always fun one. Change a flat tire.
Oh, fuck
you.
Just a few months ago.
Unfortunately. Not the last time I changed a flat tire, but two or three flat tires ago, as an added bonus, I also scratched my cornea because I, like, my eye, something was bugging my eye, and I had just changed the tire, put the flat one in the car, and then like an idiot touched my eye and ended up scratching my cornea. Let me tell you, you don't want that. But anyway,
was it like a wire from the inside of the tire?
I'm not, in all honesty, I'm not sure what it was. Some small piece of something,
you know what I'm guessing,
just enough
flake off the bar.
Maybe like
depending on what kind of bar, whatever you, especially
if that could be. Anyway,
you just brought back fucking memories. Fuck.
All right, number 25 out of 100, I think we'll quit here because we're going long. This will be a multi-part going through these. But break down a door. And they're talking if you need to escape, the house is on fire, or you need to break in or break out. Breaking into certain houses is easier because most exterior doors go in.
Yeah.
Breaking out is harder because, the door frame's there.
Yeah. Well, and even if you think like an interior bedroom,
they should.
Are we talking about new doors or old doors?
Yeah, just
because those are totally different fucking monsters.
You know what? Interestingly enough, if you're talking on an average house, which is a wood frame door, if you have a sledgehammer, you can pretty much go through anything.
The doors in my house, the sledge would probably get through it, but it'd be a lot fucking harder than a lot of the doors that they put in now because the middle is cardboard. A lot of people don't know that. It's filler in the middle of the fucking door.
Yeah.
The outside's like, what's that? It's like that plastic that looks like wood.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, really, all you got to do to take a door out is take the hinges. Or take the latch. And a lot of people try to bust, like you're saying, try to bust the door down. It's pointless. All you got to do, and what you end up doing 9 times out of 10 when you break a door is you break the frame. You don't actually break the deadbolt or whatever it is. You end up breaking the frame.
Like now, 2-inch screws on your door.
What?
That's why you put 2-inch screws on your doors.
But you usually got to have something. Now, if it's an easy lockout, credit cards and butter knives work really well when their kids lock themselves in their room.
Yeah.
Yeah. A butter knife works well.
Yep. Yeah, really young, the girls figured that out, and I'd be in the bathroom, and they're just like, I just need a few minutes peace, but they're cranking the door open with it. But going back to what the doors are made of, the basement into the garage, into and out of the garage, that's solid. That is a solid wood door. Like the whole thing is all wood. And I sometimes forget that when I'm taking it, like when I've needed to take it off.
Too damn hard.
Well, that too, but I'm taking it off thinking, oh, I'll just grab it. And it's like, ugh! Oh, it's like moving a tree.
We're gonna get a couple episodes out of this because we're only at 25.
And then I'm glad I found this. So
yeah, it's like, but there's 25 things that most of them we all know. CJ probably is the most lacking out of the three of us so far.
I'm okay with these.
I know. Yeah. I figured you
the
would.
The button and the fucking palm. Yeah, I'm good without it.
Well, and I will say, since we're stopping here and we're getting close to wrapping up, so my oldest did take a sewing class, and so you could choose electives. I think it's only 2 or 3, at least for junior high. Everything else is laid out for you, but you do get your choice. But at the same time, you can pick what you want, but because of seniority and other things, if you're being low man on the totem pole, you may not get it. But to her credit, her in sixth grade, she did a sewing class and learned how to sew. And for Halloween, she was going to sew. She's basically an M&M. Her and her friends were M&Ms. And so she just needed a shirt and a colored shirt, and then so on an M, and so she did that, and yes. Hold on. Later. Just a second. So anyway, what I was saying is before I was interrupted is that she was trying to hand sew it, and then it's like, hey, I don't know if it will really work, but because I don't know anything from nothing, but can we use your sewing machine? And just watching her getting it out like we didn't have a lot of the things, like we didn't have thread. She left her sewing kit. Her sewing kit wasn't here. So anyway, it was like late at night, mad scramble, but just watching her, it was like MacGyver, like me watching MacGyver try and, you know, take a teaspoon and some duct tape and create this thing that, you know, I mean, it's just.
Next time, just call CJ. He'll run over there with the staple gun and you guys will be good to go. Yeah.
He'll find me a roofing nail that he can bend.
Hey, it works fucking amazing. We got to make sure that the part that you cut off is on the outside.
Yeah. We're going to have a show coming up here in the near future of CJ's Hacks to Living.
Hey, when I was CJ's broke,
life hacks.
When I was broke, there was many of these things.
See, we'll have a full episode of them. I'll probably have a couple myself. Well, we'll be getting back to here again. 100 skills every man should know.
Yep.
Yeah, we got through the first 25. We'll see how far we get on our next go around.
Sounds good. So always then, a pleasure.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. On our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarian rhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at SteelJanz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world. An apex predator.